here we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show. And together, a hearty welcome to our program for a midweek edition Wednesday, June 22nd. It was really nice evening last night, kind of some cool, I think those are what they call outflow from maybe some thunderstorms in the area. But other than Tom Fairbanks, the about a quarter of an inch, 20-minute rainfall on Saturday, which I certainly welcomed.
Is that at your place?
Our place.
Yeah, because I don't think that
the
we got more than a trace
five,
at the airport.
No, they had five 100s. But I do have one of these cheapy kind of rain gauge in the backyard, and it did show just below a quarter of an inch. So I think we were lucky. We were in a pocket to really get some. And we need it so bad because the garden is looking really, really stressed. But anyway, Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. 12 years now. We're in the 12th year of doing the radio show, 34th year of TV and radio in Tucson. I was figuring it out the other day. If you count my internship at WIND Radio in Chicago in 1967, that would mean I've been associated with media for like 55 years. I mean, I was playing like I was in the media as a kid, throwing the ball against the wall and announcing to myself Chicago Cub baseball, but that didn't count. But anyway, the Buckmaster Show Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They sponsor our phone interviews, but our first two segments will be in studio. Kevin Dahl is here. Kevin is the Ward 3 Democrat. He was elected in November. He took office in December. He retired early this year after 14 years of being the Arizona representative for the National Parks Conservation Association. And we had a bunch of interviews with Kevin during his tenure with the Parks Group. But this is only his second time on the Buckmaster Show. I've been giving him some space to settle in. So he's been in an office almost 6 months. How is it going at this stage of your life? You're enjoying this,
Bill.
That you're an old man, but I mean it. Yeah.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that caveat.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun. The city of Tucson is a great place. I love it. I've assembled a stellar staff.
What is it, three or four people?
I have four people plus a two people on a small number of hours.
So you're allotted four to do a staff?
We have a budget.
Oh, a budget. Okay.
Yeah, and we're allotted four full-time staff.
Okay, go ahead.
There was so much to learn. Many of our early meetings were meet and greets. What does this department do? What does that do? As you know, Tucson is a big enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
We were just working on the budget. It's a $2 billion a year budget, which kind of blows my mind. But we're in charge of so many things. And I've ran, and I'm doing this to make a difference, to work on climate change, to work on water issues, to protect residents and neighborhoods, and to be a voice of reason in these crazy political times.
Well, you know what people say about our city. It's a failing city. It doesn't work and this and that. It is a diverse city. I mean, in your ward alone, there's some nice neighborhoods and there's some really run-down neighborhoods. And that's kind of characteristic, emblematic, if you will, of the city of Tucson.
I think it is. I cherish the diversity, but for people who are in the vulnerable neighborhoods, for people who are having a hard time making ends meet, who have been impacted severely by COVID and rising rents and house prices, we need to help those people. So there's plenty of opportunities for us as a city to do some good.
Do we have money to help those people?
You know, I'm coming in at a great time. I talked to some of my colleagues who were elected when they were having to cut the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have some big buckets of money from the federal government to deal with infrastructure and COVID. The economy has not been all that bad. And so we have some resources, and it's a matter of where we need to allocate them.
And there are some bright spots. I had the mayor on yesterday, and hey, I wanted to give credit where credit is due, and Mike Ortega has done a great job as city manager in putting together a team of people to make this city move forward. Now, look at transportation. I think that's positive that every piece of pavement in the next 10 years will be addressed in the city of Tucson.
Every neighborhood street.
Piece of neighborhood pavement.
Well, and plus there's 20% of those funds raised from that continuation of the sales tax will go to safety amenities, crossings, intersections, protecting bike paths, lighting, that are necessary as well.
Well, we have a lot of people moving into Arizona. It's still a very desirable move for many people. And despite some might say, well, it's a real challenge to move to Arizona in this environment, because we are on the front lines of a changing climate. It's going to get hotter here, Kevin Dahl, as you know, and water is a huge issue. We are now in, let's see, the third decade of what is turning out to be the historic drought. I guess you'd have to go back to the year 1250 or something to find a drought like this. How in the world is Tucson going to sustain itself?
Well, we have to get smart and serious about taking water conservation measures and really doing them. We've done a fairly good job of awareness, and we've been fortunate in that California next door has strict water conservation measures for devices you put in your home, and manufacturers are manufacturing toilets to those and other showerheads to those, and that's what we can find in our big box stores. But we have to get serious. And I think we will. The situation on the Colorado River is grim, and several people have used that word, grim. The people who manage it and the Department of Interior, and we have to. We're at the tail end of the Central Arizona Project. More than 300 miles across the desert, this water is pumped to us. We've done a good job of managing it. We have 5-year supply stored in the aquifer over in the Avra Valley.
That's encouraging.
So it's not an immediate threat.
No.
But after we use that, we're limited to groundwater.
Excuse me, Kevin. I know that you've been involved with some water conservation policies for within the city of Tucson. Were these talked about recently at the council meeting?
Yes. The head of the water department presented a plan for water conservation.
Is this the new head of the water department?
Yes, John Kamik, who's very good.
Kamik, yes. Yeah. He's scheduled for the show this summer. We're going to bring him in. But go ahead.
Good. He can talk more about these.
Okay.
But there's four that he proposed, and they had to do with EPA water sense certified fixtures and new construction and requiring some irrigation meters and sub-metering for multi-family units. I asked that an additional measure be considered. I get feedback that why should I do water conservation when the city is allowing new developments with hundreds and thousands of new homes that will be using water? Why should I conserve water so that other people can get the same deal I have? Mm-hmm.
And you get asked that probably every day.
Pretty often.
Yeah.
And we don't want people asking that. We want people to be assured that water conservation is for our future.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. Mm-hmm. But the concept is net zero water for new developments, so that the new developments are required to do these water conservation measures that we're going to implement. Water harvesting for landscaping and low flow fixtures and such, but in addition to reach a net zero water impact, they would buy water conservation credits from a group that would be installing this sort of water conservation on existing buildings and homes. So we could be assured that we can continue to grow for a while without impacting our water balance here in Tucson.
So, are these measures just being talked about, or has the council signed off on this 5-point plan?
The 5-point plan, John asked if we would want to consider it. We said yes. So he'll be coming back to the council with those four that he proposed and the net zero water at some time in the near future.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, on your particular point, we'll call it point number five, developers would pretty much have to pay upfront for water conservation if they're going to build homes here.
Yes.
Yes. That's kind of the bottom line, right?
It seems fair to me. Pay upfront if you're going to bring new impacts to the system. Mm-hmm. And Tucson Water does a great job, but it's part of a larger infrastructure that is failing because of climate change in the Colorado River Basin, and we just have to face that fact.
All right, let's pause right here. Kevin Dahl, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods?
I'm not supposed to eat them, but I do love them.
You have them on occasion, even though you're not supposed to eat them. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the
Mona's
Danish
good.
Kringle. We love Mona's. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise open mornings 6:30, and they are open Tuesday through Sunday, and they're open. They do lunch as well. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Go to the website. You'll see the menu items. You'll be very tempted, and you'll be further tempted when you walk in and look at the bakery case, because the decision is always so hard. What am I in the mood for right now? We'll pause right here with Kevin Dahl talking about city politics and what the city's doing in the area of water. Also, what about this free transit? We'll ask Kevin about that right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. I am so proud of so many of these, well, all of them, actually, these great sponsors. Many of them have been with me since I launched the radio show in 2011. Green Things. We love Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. And they have some beautiful items over there, items for your garden. Drought resistant. They have, speak to the knowledgeable people over there. We've been talking with Kevin Dahl about water and things about saving water. They have some wonderful plants over at Green Things. And the staff there, Kevin, are so knowledgeable. I mean, that's what you want. Most of us don't really know that much about horticulture. So the Green Things staff can kind of put you in the right direction.
It's a great operation, and I like dipping into it when I'm walking on the pathway.
Oh, yes, when you're doing your walk. Yeah. And also, Kevin, they have Zocalo Village is part of the family now, and Zocalo Village... Well, Zocalo used to be over on Broadway. Do you remember that
shop? I do remember, yeah.
Well, now it's been absorbed by the Green Things team, and they've got some wonderful Talavera pottery that Jan and Jack, the owners, they bring it on buying trips. They go down to Mexico, and they get some great things. Anyway, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Kevin Dahl is with us, and Kevin is the Ward 3 Democrat council person. Let's go to the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Caller Matt would like to speak with you, Kevin. So let's listen to what Matt has to say. Go ahead. You're with Kevin Dahl.
Yeah, Kevin, very quickly, while I appreciate everything with regards to water conservation, and we've always done a good job here in Tucson, I think putting this burden on developers at this time when we desperately need development. We need housing. To the answer to your constituent's question as to why he should still conserve versus new people coming in is because we desperately need new users. We need people that are actually reducing the cost because they are consuming more water. That's how you reduce the maintenance cost. That's how you come up with money for paying for the bills on maintenance and other operations. Anyway, do you have a cost figure that you're straddling on the developers for this? They already pay fees for coming in and, you know, doing things for, you know, the $7,500 or whatever the fee is. But, I mean, do you have a cost for this new issue? Thank you. Bye.
This is a very new proposal, and I've asked the city to manager and his team to do the research, and that will come back to us. You know, you and I are going to have to disagree about this. Developers pay lots of fees, but developers make lots of money. And we need affordable housing. We need an ability to deal with rising house prices and rents. Tucson isn't allowed to do rent control. Any other reasonable city, looking at the huge increases in rents, which are driving people into living into their cars or on the streets or moving away, would put in rent controls. So there are solutions. We're not really dealing with the Airbnbs. There are 4,000 units that are not available to residents because we've allowed Airbnbs to be so predominant in our community. So there are some solutions out there, and I look forward to further conversations about those solutions.
Let's go to the live line again. Doug Martin of Good News Communication, former owner of this radio station. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill and Councilman, and I met you when you were running for office when we interviewed you for the Tucson Chamber of Commerce.
So, I remember that. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so glad to get to talk to you again. My question is about sustainability and growth in our community, and particularly about good-paying jobs. Looking at the numbers, Tucson lagged behind recovery in the rest of the state, and we really have not attracted good-paying jobs. And my sense is that, you know, the mayor and you council members give lip service to the idea of, well, we like small business people, but I also sense there's a resentment towards businesses when they grow, or if they become successful. So in order to attract those kind of businesses, you have to have a good relationship with them. So I want to just ask you, you know, what are you doing to get in touch with that in terms of finding out what businesses need to come here and to employ our kids when they graduate from the U of A?
Thanks for your question, Doug. Yeah, quality of life is one of Tucson's secret weapons. And we're falling down in education. We're taking good steps in transportation. We need to do a little bit more for parks and rec so that we can attract the employers who want to live here and can attract their employees to live here and also pull from the existing workforce. We need better and more work training programs, and I certainly support that, especially in my ward. We had a great opening of a project that involved industrial sewing very close to Old Pasqua, and it's involving members of the Pasqua community. And there's a great need for that sort of specialized skill in several different businesses here in town. Just because we're for sustainability or come out of the environmental movement doesn't mean we can't work with business. So if you get the impression from me, I'm very, very interested in making Tucson a great place to live. And part of that is higher paid jobs and not just, you know. And by the way, we're having a hard time filling positions, both in the city and in business. It seems like we need to attract labor here, that there's not enough labor for the jobs that we do have.
City Council approved the official budget, decided to continue with fare-free transit until the end of the calendar year. Tucson's Teamster Union initially, Kevin, was in favor of the free fare at the beginning of the pandemic for health reasons. They did send a letter in May asking to end the policy. They're concerned about a spike in crime on the routes. What is your take on this quickly? Because I still want to carve out a minute or so to talk about something else for your ward.
Thank you. Well, I support the mayor's effort to extend this so that we can study and see if there are ways that we can continue this permanently. It's a great benefit to have free transit. So that more people will use it. We'll get more people off the car, out of their cars. I also think that the concerns of the Teamsters as far as safety and security need to be addressed. And when it was discussed in council, I suggested we pull those two issues apart and ask the city manager to immediately start working on issues of safety. Some of it might be that free buses means that there's more houseless people using them as a cooling a place to sleep when they're driving around. I think the pandemic made us all closer on edge. And I know that there were fights about masks or whether or not wear masks. And there may be other resources that bus drivers need to, there's only one security person for the entire system, for instance.
So, I didn't know that. Yeah. One security person for all the buses.
So we need to look at both issues, but separately.
Yeah. And ridership, the mayor told me on the show yesterday, is up.
It's up. Yeah.
So ridership is up, but we do need to address this and somehow maybe get some more security on the buses. I did not know there was only one security guard for all of SunTran. Okay, in your ward, normally when wards, the ward people send out the newsletters, a lot of times just throw away, goes in the trash, but you're trying to put together something that's content rich.
Yeah, we do have announcements of upcoming events that people might want to go, but we're also doing more in-depth discussion of the issues that we're facing. And also reaching out to neighborhoods. My staff has required everyone to write an article for our weekly newsletter. So if you're interested in checking it out, they're on the website. Just Google Kevin Dahl, City of Tucson, and you can see back issues. And you can sign up to get it emailed every Friday. If it's too much, then you can have it turned off too.
What are some of the issues you've already been, your people are writing about?
Well, houselessness has been big. I never thought that every day I would be dealing with concerns and complaints about homeless encampments. Recently, we pulled together all the staff in the city of Tucson and our nonprofit partners and did a forum and invited people in our ward to hear what's happening, what can be done, what can't be done. And so that's one issue that's, I'm the one coming out Friday will headline water.
Well, getting back quickly, and I'm out of time basically, but as far as the homeless issue, is that population, Do you know if it's growing?
I don't know, because we haven't done a census in the last 3 years because of COVID, mm-hmm. but it seems to be popping up everywhere because we move them from one wash or one mm-hmm. vacant lot and they have to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We're trying hard as a city with Housing First and providing wraparound services, but we need more help.
All right, Kevin Dahl, always a pleasure. We'll
Thank
get you,
Bill.
On here very soon for an update on what's going on in your ward, ward number 3. All right, we'll pause right here. It's the Buckmaster Show and our midweek edition. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Once a quarter here on our program, we focus on one of the most important resources in Arizona. And I'll tell you, I won't say, as far as I'm concerned, it is the most important resource, and that's water. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us on the program, Karen Caesar is here, Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation Board. Karen, always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Always glad to be here.
Well, I'll tell you, almost every day, look at the Arizona Daily Star today. It seems like the front page has been dominated with Colorado River news. What's the very latest, Karen, as far as you see it from your world?
Well, as your listeners will know, the media has been reporting that our country's largest reservoirs, and people may not really realize our Lake Powell and Lake Mead are our country's largest reservoirs, have dropped to record low elevations. And we're experiencing the driest conditions on the Colorado River Basin in more than 1,200 years. These conditions are not expected to get any better into the future. And these times have required unprecedented actions to protect our infrastructure in both both the basins, the upper basin and the lower basin, as well as our water supply. So it's definitely serious. And as you know, this has been the first year that we've been in a declared tier one shortage. And unfortunately, despite all of our, you know, hopes and wishes and rain dances and snow dances, the current projections show that we'll likely be in a deeper shortage in 2023 and beyond.
So conservation, Karen Caesar, is more important than ever before right now.
Oh yeah, it's the conservation is the is really the word of the day, week, month, and year. At CAP, we're really proud. We've been doing a lot of work, and Arizona has been making a lot of contributions in the conservation arena to protect the Colorado River systems that have come together in the state. But the future is going to involve even more broad-based collaboration and collective action, and that means more conservation is a must.
So what does that mean? What's the bottom line?
Well, for several years, and we've been talking about it here on your show, Arizona and our partners within the state and within the basin have been participating in large-scale conservation programs. That's leaving large amounts of water in Lake Mead to keep the elevations propped up to avoid shortages. Well, it lasted for a while, but even those efforts weren't enough. Some of this left there is something called intentionally created surplus, and that's where we're leaving water that was going to be available at a future date. Other water's been left behind more or less permanently through some fallowing agreements with agriculture or people that are compensated to use less water. We even implemented the 500-plus plan recently where we've basically working to collectively within the basin contribute an additional 500,000 acre feet per year in the lake.
But that hasn't been enough, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And and that's where we're all, you know, we're all
that's
still...
That's the big concern.
There's the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Despite all of this efforts, you know, we need to, and we are continuing to do more, and the conversations are happening as we speak amongst all the basin states, lower and upper basin, so we can stay tuned for more news on that. But I would also suggest, you know, that our listeners here and people in Tucson, you know, do your part, get to know your water supply and learn, you know, what our community is doing for water conservation, which is a lot. I said and I continue to say Tucson is a leader in the state and the nation in water conservation. But there's always more that we can do. And you can, you know, Council Member Dahl was just on talking mm-hmm. about water harvesting,
yep. mm-hmm.
Free water from the sky. If you can direct that to your native and low water use plants, you can reduce your water consumption. And also there's a lot of resources out there. CAP website has resources as well as Water Use It Wisely.
And so, there is a lot going on. We're going to continue to, obviously the Colorado River issue will continue to be the big story, but there's a lot going on right here in Tucson.
Right. So there's a lot, you know, there is obviously a lot going on with the state of the Colorado River and the basin, but even with that as a, I would say not as a backdrop, but even that is top of mind for all of us. There's still a lot of other things that CAP is doing, particularly right now in Southern Arizona. And one of them is working with some of the Southern Arizona Emergency Services agencies to let them have a firsthand dive, literally, into, see what I did there?
Yep.
Into the CAP Canal.
Everybody in the canal.
yeah, not everybody in the canal, but if you get there,
yeah.
We allow them to use our canal for training for swift water rescues. We are, you know, monsoons are knocking at the door here, and our local rescue and emergency services need to practice, and we partner with them and allow them to train along the banks of the canal and even in the canal to simulate a swift water rescue. So keep their skill sets ready should they be called upon during the monsoon season.
Yeah, it seems like every year they are called upon. Let's hope this year is maybe a lot less than it has been in previous years.
Turn around, don't drown.
Yep, there you go. It is a productive partnership, though, isn't it?
It is, and these drills provide an opportunity not only for our emergency services people to do some training, but it provides us an opportunity to emphasize our safety message, especially through the media. You know, our entire 336-mile system is fenced to protect the public public safety. And that water, well, you know, we all look at water now and all looks wonderful. That our water is not like a lot of other canals. It moves very quickly, and it is, the canal is very dangerous should you get into it. So we do want to emphasize public safety, but we're also happy to you know, use our canal as a training ground. So again, to, you know, hopefully save some lives in other areas.
Hey, Karen, as I recall, last monsoon season, there was some damage to the CAP. Were those repairs made?
Yeah, that we did have last season. We had a big event just north of here near Picacho Peak in what we call Pool 34 area north of Tucson, where the canal lining was damaged due to a big storm. We are preparing now as we head toward our fall outage this year, about a 6-week repair program to get that repaired. So it's a highly precise timing to get the contractors mobilized and ready to operate during that outage season. And we're also, in addition to fixing that problem, which really happened from a real strong microburst right in the area, we are also looking on some risk evaluation and reduction, and anticipating that some of these events due to climate change might be seen more in the future. So we're anticipating stronger storms of shorter duration. So we're trying to also see what else we can do to prevent the next accident like that.
I mean, Pima County infrastructure has got to be a huge investment.
It is. It is. The whole CAP as a piece of infrastructure is enormous and quite impressive, and it requires constant maintenance and management. And so some of the things that are also going to happen here in Pima County is our Sendero pumping plant is going to get a new potable water treatment system, and we're also upgrading fire protection in that plant, as well as our Twin Peaks, Brawley, and San Javier pumping plants. We have a lot of pumping plants here in Pima County, and keeping them maintained properly is definitely part of our mission.
I had no idea about the pumping plants.
Right. Well, yeah. We are here at the end of the line again. Yeah. That as was just noted, and that's where they're, you know, the most getting that water to the end of our system requires a lot more lift. And so, you know, equipment reliability along with safety is one of our highest priorities.
What else is going on?
Well, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about another component of CAP that is not discussed a lot, and that's the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District, or the CAGRD. And we just recently completed three long-term storage credit transactions with the Tohono O'odham Nation here. And these credits represent CAP water stored in the aquifer that will be used to offset CAGRD's future replenishment obligations in the Green Valley and Sahuarita areas.
I knew nothing about CAGRD.
Well, it's a function of CAP, and it is it allows a lot of developments and areas to comply with Arizona's groundwater law if they do not have direct access to CAP water.
How do you know if you're in the district?
Well, and that's important. So all property owners, it will appear on your property tax statement, but I recognize that, you know, when we get our property tax statements, there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot of detail in there, and some people don't really drill down. But the easy way is, if you don't know if you are in the CAGRD, which was created in the mid-90s, as I was mentioning, to help water providers and landowners comply with the groundwater law, you can go to our CAP website and look up your CAGRD membership. And you can find it through knowyourwaternews.com. And there you'll be guided to a story. There's, you know, you can learn a little bit more about it. And ultimately, you can find a tool that can quickly determine if your home and your address is within the CAGRD. And again, many homes, particularly in the Sahuarita area and in other areas in Tucson, are part of the CAGRD. So, if you know, encourage everybody to check that out. And while you're at it, Know Your Water News is such a great resource. You know, sign up for their weekly emails, and you can find out some other information.
So, Know Your Water News is part of the CAP website.
Yes, yeah, it's a part of our public information outreach efforts, you know, you can go there, and there's a lot of information. There's infographics, there's stories, there's all sorts of information.
A lot of people are interested in the whole how CAP came about, and I guess there's actually some people that have done some to oral histories.
Yes, and you know, this is one of those things where the history of CAP and the really the history of Arizona are so intertwined with getting the vision to get this renewable water resource. Again, on the Know Your Water News website, you can find links to some audio archives and some oral histories from CAP. And if it's, you know, if you're not doing anything and it's a hot summer afternoon and you've got some time, check it out. I was think that here, I feel like we're writing water history daily with what we're going on, you know, with what we're experiencing now. It's always a good time to look back and remind us where we've been.
CAPAZ.com, is that the website?
That's our website, yes.
All right, Karen Caesar, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, we'll pause right here. More on the Buckmaster Show. Our historian Ken Scoville is up next. What in the world did people do before air conditioning living here in Tucson? That's coming up.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Nice day over in Silver City, New Mexico, 72 degrees. Wow, they must have had a recent thunder shower to bring. Well, we always say the Buckmaster Show guarantee that's going to be 10 degrees cooler in the summer over in Silver City, and it is. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson. You're going to have a great time over there. Lots to do, a lot of outdoor activities. There's some great Victorian architecture. There's great places to stay. Some really good places to eat. Some fine dining as well. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. And some of those temperatures, overnight lows, will be around 60 degrees. And they have had, I understand, some really good rain already, which New Mexico needed, like Arizona. But they're off to a great start with the summer rainy season. I hope we get off to that start very soon as well. Let's go now to Ken Scoville, the resident Buckmaster Show historian. Water is kind of a theme of today's show, Ken, and I was thinking about every time we get a really good rain, I was thinking about the Stone Avenue underpass. It has seen its share of floods, hasn't it, over the years?
Yes, it has. I don't think most people realize that the Stone Avenue underpass, it was one of the newer underpasses during the era when we were trying to get underneath the train, but it was actually constructed in 1936.
Mm.
And it had a whole system of pumping mechanisms. In fact, there was a small little building right to the west of the underpass, and it was called Pump House. But they thought they had it designed enough, but we always can get really good monsoons, especially sometimes downtown. And it started filling up fairly recently after it was constructed in 1936.
So the pumping station installed during the construction of the underpass, but the monsoon storms easily overwhelmed the system. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. And I think people need to, and there's two contexts that everybody needs to think about. This is 1936. The population of the city of Tucson is maybe 32,000, so a much smaller town. So these funds were provided from the State Highway Department. A mover and shaker in early Tucson in that era was Monty Mansfeld, who was on the State Highway Department and also car dealership. This was a time when there weren't many conflicts of interest. Well, he brought the pork to Tucson and lots of jobs given us the Depression era. So, and another context is back then, Stone Avenue, as it came through downtown, was actually part of US 80 and 89. So people going to California essentially got routed through Stone. So the traffic backups on Stone with the railroad got pretty overwhelming at times.
Hey, how did this name Lake Elmira come about for when the floods happen and the little lake forms?
Okay, well, like everything else, and you want to think of this being small town Tucson, and it's still Depression era. And the story was that a 7-year-old girl who was a student at Safford Elementary School by the name of Elmira Doakes, when it filled up, she actually slammed the length from the Tool, from the south side of Tool to coming up on 6, and she was the first person to do this. And then there's an article in the newspaper that there was a petition to the city council, and they had all these signatures that we should name this lake after this girl that swam the length of it. And there was even in this, the newspaper reporter at the time was Howard Welty, and this again was a citizen. And he said that, you know, even the council might consider having a pontoon bridge. Well, really quickly, if somebody looks at it, this was obviously a made-up, tongue-in-cheek story. And this idea that this girl swam the length of it, all this was fabricated. But everybody liked it so much that the name Lake Elmira actually would stick. And there's plenty of photographs. In fact, the article in 1937 about the Elmira Doakes and everything actually showed one of the early buses submerged in the underpass and all of this. So this caught on, and this was formerly always called, when it filled up, Lake Elmira. And there are newspaper ads that businesses caught on to this, and businesses that were north of Stone would give the location were just 2 blocks from Lake Elmira. So this became a major focal point.
And the whole urban legend continued, didn't it?
Right. Well, here we go again. And a good story tends to be a good story, and I like to call it a legend, too. Now it's July of 1967, and realizing it's always that monsoon season that seems to appropriate to do another article. Now it's an Arizona Daily Star, and the reporter is Don Thornton. And the reason that this story came out, and you think of the last one being in 37, so 30 years later, that they installed a new pumping system, hoping that this would finally beat the monsoon storms. And so they picked up on this and talked about the new pumping station. And then Jack Schaefer, who was a very famous photographer, the Star, got probably one of the employees at the Star, to dress up in a swimsuit, put swim fins on and a mask, and be right in Lake Elmira. Just wasn't flooded at the time of the picture. And supposedly, now this is the adult Elmira Doakes. She'd become a very famous international long-distance swimmer, and she was upset because these new pumps were installed, and this was going to be the end of Lake Elmira.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, it just got on and kept going and kept going. So this, even today, in probably being lost a little bit, but I think most of us have been around for a while, know something about Lake Elmira when it fills up in there. But you need to really be thinking about the fact that Tucson's a smaller town, and it was still depression, even things were maybe getting a little bit better by 36 and 37. But this was just sort of a lighthearted story and got the fabrication going. And it stayed with us for today.
Hey, Ken, what's this, the whole new road alignment that's getting finished just north of the Stone Avenue underpass?
I don't know how many of your listeners are. I've always got something going on that I'm going downtown. And I constantly forget that I'm diverted over to 6 and have to circumvent around and loop around. But all this goes back to, and this is from an historical perspective again, they were always trying to figure out how do we route traffic from the freeway to get it going farther out on east Tucson. Well, back in the 1960s in urban renewal, after they destroyed so much of the barrio and really a lot of downtown, they wanted to put in the Butterfield Parkway. And people fought that off because that would have destroyed what remains of what we see today of Barrio Historical. And then that sort of vanished for a while. Then if you've been around for a while, in the late 80s, we had the Aviation Corridor, which was going to be an elevated parkway connecting down by Broadway and Aviation Corridor all the way to the freeway. And this was going to be a six-lane elevated monstrosity going over there. That got fought down. And now this is called the Downtown Links Project. And this is essentially connecting Broadway and the Aviation Parkway. If you've been down there, you know where it sort of ends there on Broadway.
Yeah.
Now you can go just north of the train tracks, get over to 6, and then eventually get over to the freeway. And this was also, and again, politics and everything, this was one of the Regional Transportation Authority voter-approved plans, but it also has flood control. 6, now you can see how it's been rerouted a little bit. It will go underneath the railroad tracks again, come up, so there won't be any delays there. And then there'll be sort of a rooftop deck corridor that people and bicycles connect over the top of it.
All right.
And just earlier this week, we were able to have the pump house, which was going to be demolished, moved to the new location.
Okay.
So that's for tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Always a pleasure. Have a great day. All right, that'd do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom engineering the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great day.